Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is financial foresight, mastering budgets in the multifamily market. I have joining me by phone a longtime multifamily industry veteran, Brian Croker, the COO of Lindy Communities. Also on the phone is a great supplier partner to the multifamily industry, Mo Hussein, the CEO of Balanced Asset Solutions. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, Paul.
So in this first segment, I think we're going to be talking about crafting a realistic and effective budget. And Mo, I'll start with you. What are the essential elements of successful multifamily budget?
Yeah, great. great question, Paul. So I like to define in general, you know, when I'm talking about goals and objectives, use the SMART framework. Some of you may be familiar with it. SMART stands for specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. So budgets are ideally about a year long ahead of time. Usually in Q3 is when an operator and usually a business is putting together budgets for the subsequent year. The key elements that make the budget successful, it should include clear financial objectives, realistic projections, and then also potential contingency plans if things kind of slip. Over half of the multifamily property owners miss their budget goals, and this is according to a survey, the National Apartments Association, and about 54% of property owners reported missing their budget goals in 2022. And this really highlights kind of the importance and significance of financial foresight and budgeting. Accurate budgeting definitely leads to higher levels of profitability. It increases employee engagement and ownership as well, and kind of understanding the health of the business, and which ultimately will achieve, you know, a higher percentage of profitability and margins for the actual business. Yeah. Love to get some feedback from Brian here on the line with us, being an operator of a sizable multifamily portfolio in the Northeast. How you guys kind of define a budget, the elements of you guys' budgeting cycle on an annual basis?
Yeah, no, I appreciate your comments, Mel, and definitely SMART method is a really important way to go. It really starts, in my opinion, with setting the strategy for that property or even that portfolio. The strategy is sort of at a higher level, you know, on an overall basis, you know, what type of increases do we want to have in gross potential revenue, GPR, what our occupancy will be, you know, what the overall environment is that we're operating in for that market. Really trying to understand the strengths and challenges of that property or that region and setting a strategy. And then the detailed action plan, the tactical stuff, if you will, then becomes the detailed objectives, projections, and everything we know and hate that goes into these budgets. I also want to emphasize that it's really important to clearly state the assumptions, because once you're implementing the budget, and we'll talk about this in more detail in a little bit, you want to be able to go back and understand what those assumptions are so you can actually execute on the budget and then explain later why you made or didn't make your budget.
We've got about 6 minutes left in this segment, and Mo, how can budgets be made realistic and achievable? I know that's you mentioned a lot of people are missing the mark when they go to actuals. So how can you make them more realistic and achievable?
Right. Great question. And one thing that I want to highlight that Brian had commented on the previous question was having kind of a great understanding of the local market and specifically where an asset is located, especially when it comes to things like growth potential rent. As far as how to make things or how to make budgets realistic and achievable, especially from the perspective of GPR, gross potential rent, the leasing agents and the staff that are on the ground in that particular market have the most intimate understanding of what renters in that area or prospective renters in that area perceive, what the actual market rate is, the fluctuations and changes in kind of that market. The comment that Brian made about, you know, having a set of assumptions is very, very key. And I think even furthermore that, you know, budgets in general should be fairly fluid as those assumptions and things change within a market, and even in scenarios where there's a drastic outlier type of event, like a pandemic or something like that, can drastically impact how those are kind of put together. Those assumptions, looking at current market data and historical performance, and most importantly, involving the team members, helps kind of ensure realistic goal setting. And that and the team members that should be involved should own different aspects of the P&L for the budget that's put together. You have your leasing staff and the office staff that you should own usually the revenue section, maybe some operations folks and maintenance folks that are owning the kind of the expenses section. But I'd love to hear from Brian, especially, you know, kind of expanding on that comment about the GPR and kind of the local market. Have there been examples where maybe there was some specific insight that you guys have kind of uncovered from folks that are very close to those assets?
Yeah, no, I mean, we certainly try to understand each market, especially right now. It's hard to predict these markets. I almost feel like we need to hire a company fortune teller. But, you know, we try to go with recent history and try to have conservative assumptions, not too aggressive. We like to put a stretch factor in our budget, but not too much of a stretch that, it breaks the people, and then they don't feel like they can make their budgets. We want them to be achievable, but we want them to work hard to make the budgets and then ultimately own it.
Right, right. Would you say, do you guys go through kind of an iterative or kind of a look back type of cycle throughout the year as the budget is being implemented, or do you guys usually kind of set these kind of hard in stone and kind of revisit, you know, in the subsequent cycle when a new budget cycle is being put together?
Depends on the property. I have worked for other companies where we did what was called an evergreen, you know, where we reset the budget, especially if the property was going sideways. And sometimes that's helpful. Sometimes you can spend so much time on budgeting, it takes you away from actually running the property. So I think there's a middle ground there. And, so we do sometimes reset them. Lately, we haven't been, just because it's been so difficult to predict what the future might hold.
You know, I've heard some people in the industry say that as soon as the budget is submitted and approved, that the new budget season starts again, where they're starting to get a new budget. And then other people, you know, say, you know, sometime in Q3, they start talking about and looking at budgets. What's the proper way to do it, I guess?
You know, I worked for public companies that, you know, had earnings requirements or distribution requirements, and we never stopped budgeting. It was year round. But then I work for, you know, like companies like the one I'm with now, Lindy Communities, which is privately owned company. I don't think there's a lot of value to be budgeting throughout the year. I think it's important to set it and obviously still refer to it and make sure that, you know, we're actually implementing it. But I think it can, you know, take a lot of time that doesn't have a lot of value to it. By constantly, you know, redoing the budget, restating it. We certainly do variance analysis at the end of each month. But here again, you know, I think it's important that variance analysis be actionable and productive.
Yep. We've got about a minute left. Mo, your comments?
Yeah, no, I think Brian hit the nail on the head. I think sometimes there's a notion of there's some more. I've heard that from some organizations where they feel like they're constantly kind of in a budget cycle. There's definitely a trade-off between kind of the notion of analysis paralysis and kind of spending too much time overthinking the exact budget and the line items associated with that versus kind of executing on it. That point that Brian made, I feel like bears a lot of weight, which is kind of that variance analysis and doing that kind of at the end of the month and understanding if the budget is significantly different from the actuals, like what assumption or maybe baseline assumption was used and crafting the budget that needs to be kind of reconsidered moving forward. So I think those were one of the comments, Brian.
Okay.
One example I'd love to give is one of our clients in the Southern California region had three new large multifamily buildings that were being constructed, and they were all getting live around the same time period. And so although they had previous projections of where their gross potential rent because of that influx of, over excess of 300 multifamily units within less than a quarter mile away from their property, that definitely impacted their ability to be able to fill their current vacancies as quickly, which means that they need to kind of tweak their GPR a bit. And by doing kind of that variance analysis in one quarter, they were able to address that kind of concern and work on kind of leasing specials and stuff, which helped ultimately decrease in their vacancies.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We're going to be back in our second segment talking about implementing the budget successfully. We'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Elevate your apartment game with Multi-Housing News and their exclusive newsletters. MHN is the leading integrated resource for people and companies that own, invest in, develop, manage, and/or market multifamily real estate. Join the thousands of real estate professionals who trust MHN in their daily, weekly, and bi-monthly newsletters to keep them informed and inspired with property management trends, news, podcasts, and more. Find out more information at multihousingnews.com/subscriptions.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing something that is especially important to the multifamily industry. Our topic is financial foresight, mastering budgets in the multifamily market. I have joining me by phone a longtime multifamily industry veteran, Brian Croker, the COO of Lindy Communities. Also on the phone is a great supplier partner to the industry, Bolu Hussein, CEO of Balanced Asset Solutions. I would like to remind our listeners, if you would want to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. In the first segment, guys, we talked about crafting a realistic and effective budget. And I mentioned at the end of the last segment, we're going to talk in this segment about implementing a budget successfully. So how can you get team buy-in for a budget that is going to be put in place for the next year? And I'll start with you, Brian.
You know, but yes, the buy-in part is just really critical. You don't want to spend all this time creating a budget and then just stick it in a folder or your computer and never open it again. Otherwise, it's unlikely you'll make your budget. So the buy-in part's critical. And what you need to do, in my opinion, is try to break down the budget in bite-sized pieces. So what that means is getting your staff together, trying to go over the high-level assumptions and setting goals for them that will help them to achieve their budget. So, for example, if it's your leasing personnel, you want to try to take the occupancy goals and then break them down into the number of move-ins that's needed each month and make sure that each leasing person has a goal that ties into those move-in assumptions. And everyone on your team should know that. It should be tracked clearly. A lot of our properties, we have these huge whiteboards we'll put in an area where prospects can't see it, that we track the number of move-ins by month and try to create competition that way. And another example would be meeting with your maintenance supervisor and going over with your maintenance supervisor his or her supply budget so that they know exactly how much each month they can buy in supplies. They don't need to be experts on every aspect of the budget, but certainly the ones in which they can influence the outcome, and that's what's really critical. So everyone in the team should have a budget mentality and should know how they can impact the positive results of the property. The other way to try to implement the budget and get buy-in of the manager, the community manager, is by developing what I like to call checkbook mentality. And a checkbook mentality is, for anyone that still has a checkbook or does it online, is only spending the balance that's in the checkbook. And that could be after the rents are collected, after, obviously, the fixed expenses are paid, like payroll and real estate taxes and debt service. Whatever's left over, that's what you spend. And that's a good discipline that I've seen that can work well.
You know, Mo, you work with a lot of different companies across the country. You know, what are you seeing as far as buy-in and what people are doing in other companies as well?
Yeah, I love Brian, the notion that you had on kind of that whiteboard. It's something that definitely whenever we go and visit a client on site or one of their communities that we kind of look for notions to us, hey, there's a level of collaborativeness and kind of teamwork within the organization to kind of drive at a common goal. I think employees intrinsically and just your staff, they want to take ownership of certain aspects, especially the work that they're driving an outcome or an impact against, and kind of having and giving them that leeway of taking ownership and actually driving an impact. And even, you know, we also even suggest having, you know, certain like bonus and other types of metrics associated with that. But breaking down those goals down to, for example, the example you gave of move-ins is great. It provides a viable path to your employees on exactly kind of what they need to do in order to be able to achieve that goal. And I think collaborating together on how to define those metrics increases kind of that team collaborativeness and will intrinsically also just increase kind of their buy-in. There are stats out there about from Harvard Business Review about, you know, teams with strong buy-in achieve 25% higher performance, and 62% of employees report feeling more engaged when they understand their contribution to the organization's overall kind of goal. The last thing that I wanted to touch upon is the example that Brian mentioned of your maintenance and supply staff and the folks that are working on the work orders and doing the work on the properties. And we've seen quite a bit of organizations where sometimes budget cycle turns into kind of an executive exercise where some of the office leadership, including kind of leasing staff, are kind of involved. And they're kind of just taking their own set of assumptions and kind of putting them together and dictating the budget for the maintenance staff. I think this is a very kind of short-sighted way to kind of approach this. They're involved in kind of the operations of the actual property. They have their own set of assumptions and also have purview on potential capital improvements and other things that need to be done, and have a really great understanding of kind of all the expenses associated with the turnover and move-ins and move-outs. And so very, very key to kind of have them involved.
Yeah, and on that note, you know, I like to call that bottoms-up process. And I don't mean drinking. I mean bottoms-up, where the budgets come from the people on the field, the maintenance people. And, of course, the leasing would be great to get involved. And, of course, the property manager as well. That's important. And that's how to get buy-in.
Yeah, and I was going to ask the question of, you know, how far you take this into the organization as far as the budget. And obviously, in a traditional organization, you'd have a regional manager and then an on-site manager, an assistant manager, leasing manager or leasing professional, and then your maintenance, lead maintenance tech and their staff. How do you encourage to disseminate that budget throughout that chain? In other words, what role would the manager play that would then lead to what the lead maintenance team leader would play? They have to have an understanding. Each person has to have their own understanding of at least their portion of the budget. So how do you work that out, Brian?
Well, you know, again, it starts with this bottoms-up process. We give our people a template. We fill in a lot of the budget, and then they're doing more like verification and allowing for one-time items or extraordinary items. And they're involved, you know, in the presentation where, you know, we go over the budget together. We have a series of meetings. There's meetings with me where I review and approve every budget with the team, present. And then we do a separate meeting with our owners, which are also present. So they have a voice in it. They can challenge anything. We really just facilitate it and try to make it a painless process, because it can be pretty painful if you don't streamline it.
Mo, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think kind of the roles that you had rattled off, like the district manager, it's important that that validation piece that Brian had mentioned gets the voice of the folks that are closest to that particular line item. So, you know, for the individual leasing agents that are trying to drive move-ins and move-outs, that's the metric that you want them to kind of own. Maybe the leasing manager, they're owning the top line GPR number, which is a gross potential rent. By breaking down kind of that each of the individual pieces and even the metrics that roll up into those individual pieces and empowering the folks within the organization to own that and kind of validate that is very, very key. I think where a lot of organizations may struggle sometimes with having a long and arduous type of a budget cycle is when there isn't kind of a clearly defined ownership of particular metrics, and, you know, the entire office staff kind of has to figure out, okay, hey, we're all collaborating on the entire P&L versus kind of breaking that down, and even the submetrics that roll up into those individual line items. Very, 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 very key.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We are going to be back right after these messages with more, and we're going to talk a little bit in the next segment about monitoring and adapting to market forces, which is a key in the multifamily industry. We'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing a topic that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is financial foresight, mastering budgets in the multifamily market. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, Brian Croker, the COO of Lindy Communities. Also on the phone is a wonderful supplier partner to the multifamily industry, Mo Hussein, the CEO of Balanced Asset Solutions. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. I mentioned in the last segment we're going to talk about monitoring and adapting to market forces. We all know the multifamily market is dynamic, and it's something that is like a moving target. So how do you adapt and monitor what's going on in the market and how it could possibly change what you were projecting for your budget? So I'll start with you, Brian.
Yeah, no, it all starts with KPIs, key performance indicators, in my opinion. I just think it's critical that you have key performance indicators, that you really try to measure every part of your business as possible. It's the old metaphor, you can't manage what you can't measure, so you want to measure the business, and you want to measure it at key inflection points throughout the month and whatever the reporting period is. And in my opinion, KPIs need to be really well designed. They need to be easily measurable. They should be early indicators of what's happening, so you have time to address them. And they should be actionable, meaning that once you identify a KPI, good or bad, you can take action from it and somehow alter the outcome, hopefully in a positive way. We measure every part of our business, and I feel it's very helpful. We also measure in such a way that if you have responsibility for more than one property, like in my role, I can see the entire portfolio really in one report with all the properties listed side by side. And it helps me quickly identify, within a few minutes, what properties, need the attention, how to steer our resources to address what might be happening at that property. An easy one As an example would be the trend percentage. A lot of people are using physical occupancy. They're also using leased. I don't like the lease percentage because it doesn't include move-outs. I think it overstates how that property's performing. I really like percentage trend, which is defined as a physical occupancy plus all known pending move-ins, less all notice to vacate. And what that does is it gives you a view 30, 60, 90 days out of what the occupancy might be if you stop leasing. So it's a worst case early indicator that identifies which properties might be in trouble in the next 90 days and which ones need attention. Very, very important indicator. It's an early indicator and allows you to hopefully take some good action that will alter the outcome in a positive way.
Yeah, that's all. That's wonderful information. And Mo, I know we've got about 6 minutes left in the segment. I know you work with a lot of different companies across the country. How do you see them doing anything differently, or what are the key points as far as monitoring and adapting to these market forces?
To Brian's point, budgets in general should be a kind of a guiding post. And an organization should be, when a particular business outcome is kind of defined, okay, like say, for example, we want to increase profitability by X percentage on this particular property, you need to break down those metrics even further, both on like the GPR, the occupancy. I love the example that Brian gave of rather than just looking at an occupancy, you look at like percentage, which also takes into consideration and move outs. And I surmise, Brian, this is probably something that you guys kind of discovered as you guys were going through multiple different budget iteration cycles and realized, okay, you know what? Actually, this metric actually is a little much more better attuned to giving us kind of an indicator of when a particular property may be in trouble or is in need of kind of attention. And a lot of these examples of like insight that are derived from how these should be defined, these KPIs, is something that it more than likely is going to be contributed by the individual employees that can give you kind of that feedback on exactly where that focus should be. I think market research is also extremely important. That trend line, that trend percentage that Brian mentioned is a great example. Understanding competitor activity and economic forecasts and stuff to figure out what metrics can give some type of a leading indicator of when there's potential trouble to come or there are potential challenges associated with a particular property, which will allow for you to be able to hopefully address that before it becomes a bigger issue than it is today.
Brian, what are you looking at these and you see these market trends happening? How are you able to be flexible enough with your teams to be able to adapt to those market changes?
Well, that's key. Flexibility is really important. We're on a revenue management system, like I'm sure many of the listeners are. And, these systems are responding daily to the market forces that they look at exposure, they look at lease velocity, and they look at the competition. And the systems, in itself is extremely flexible. And we'll make those adjustments faster than I ever could. And then, the other thing is, really trying to keep your finger on the pulse of your competition, what's happening in the marketplace, and responding. And there's a lot of ways to respond. I hate to use the C word, concessions, but that's certainly something that has cropped up in this marketplace. There's pricing adjustments, like I mentioned. There's promotions, marketing promotions. Improving the quality of the product, making sure your people are really on their game. It really comes down, in my opinion, being flexible with the four P's: price, promotion, people, and product. Those have to have flexibility and respond.
Yeah, we've got about 2.5 minutes left, Mo, and Brian mentioned the word nobody wants to talk about, which is concessions. And what are you seeing with your companies that you work with across the country? Is it starting to be more prevalent in certain markets that you're finding?
Right. So one thing that we implore a lot of our clients to be is always being kind of data driven. I think based on this discussion, even previous conversations we've had with Brian and the Lindy organization, it's very clear you guys are very data driven, and this takes away, you know, a potential ego or other influence outside of just, you know, going off of what the actual numbers are telling you. I think it's very important that, you know, as an executive, that's a budget owner, P&L owner, that, you know, you put some weight on opportunity costs as well. I know the C word specifically in multifamily revenue operations may not be, you know, the most attractive tool to use in your tool set. However, if your data is telling you based on competition and where rental rates are in your area and the occupancy velocity and other metrics that you may be getting from a revenue management system, like Brian had called out, that, you know what, leveraging a concession or some type of a leasing special is going to give you a better kind of total cost or total revenue potential versus kind of the opportunity cost associated with, you know, keeping rents at a particular rate where it will take much longer to actually get those units occupied. And so that's something that as a budget owner, as an executive that's a revenue owner, also it's something that you need to kind of consistently consider. Brian, I'm wondering if you guys do any type of analysis like that when it comes to kind of opportunity cost of potentially leveraging or not entertaining using concessions and kind of review of the actual rental rates.
Yeah, we definitely do that. You know, we look at vacancy loss versus you know, whether we want to get growth in GPR. You know, right now, this is a much more difficult market than we experienced, let's say, a couple of years ago, where, you know, unfortunately, rents are declining. So if we want to reduce our vacancy loss, then we have to, unfortunately, reduce pricing, which hurts our GPR and hurts our GPR growth. So there's kind of, you know, you kind of have to weigh the two. There's not an easy solution. Generally, we use criteria. Once a property, you know, gets to a certain level, the exposure, you know, is high, medium, or low, the revenue management system will make that decision based on the settings of how it's going to adjust pricing and weigh vacancy loss versus drops in prices and impact the GPR.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We are going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Rev, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book Rev's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let Rev drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let Rev be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today.
Say goodbye to pen and paper processes, labor shortages, and unhappy residents, and say hello to HappyCo, the only multifamily platform that supports every stage of your property lifecycle. Improve your portfolio with Happy Asset, the ROI-driving asset optimization solution for owners, acquisition directors, and asset managers. Manage your portfolio with Happy Property, a suite of intuitive tools that streamline operations, empower teams, and delight residents. Service your portfolio with Happy Force, an always-on remote maintenance workforce for multifamily specialists designed to increase resident satisfaction. Happy Co. Multifamily solutions to smile about. For more information, visit the website at happy.co.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
We are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing something that's especially important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is financial foresight, mastering budgets in the multifamily market. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, Brian Croker, the COO of Lindy Communities. Also on the phone is a fantastic supplier partner to the multifamily industry, Mo Hussein, the CEO of Balanced Asset Solutions. So as we're winding up this segment in this episode, I want to talk a little bit about how to handle budget variances and some of the challenges that arise. So I guess the first question is, what would be some of the most common reasons for budget variances in multifamily? Mo?
Yeah, great question. So I would say, you know, there's probably two main big reasons that we see variances when it comes to budgets versus actual. Again, as we had suggested earlier, this is a analysis that should be done on kind of a monthly basis, or at least noted. Those two main reasons are usually like market shifts, things like unexpected maintenance costs or changes to occupancy rates. And one thing to highlight there is, you know, those variances can also change and fluctuate quarter over quarter. So, for example, in multifamily, you know, most folks don't want to move in the winter months. And so, and especially if you're if you have properties that are in an area where it actually snows, you know, folks are definitely a lot less inclined to move during those winter months. And so you want to keep your occupancies as low as possible from like October, November through kind of early spring, but January, February-ish, which means that you want to put together your actual GPR projections and also leasing concessions and incentivizations to have hopefully as much of your leases expire in the summertime, which is when you can actually maximize the potential rental income you can make on your actual properties. The other big reason we see budget variances is associated with inaccurate kind of projections. And so errors in forecasting income or expenses. And this can be a result of, you know, maintenance-related expenses that are higher this season. Let's say, for example, you're in an area where, and we have an example, actually one of our clients where they were in Jersey a couple of years ago, they had a larger amount of snow than they did in previous years, and that increased like their snow removal costs. However, they've been working with the vendor that was providing the service for almost 10 years, and they didn't have a retained agreement with them. And this incentivized them and put them in a position to actually have that conversation with them, which allowed them to overall kind of decrease their overall costs for that service, and also build kind of a tighter relationship with that vendor. And so that's kind of a great example and kind of insight they're able to get from seeing that kind of variance during that cycle.
And Brian, what kind of things are you seeing and have you seen in your career as far as some of the variances, what causes those variances?
Yeah, it's as you said, it's a really important process to go through monthly. I think it's important to kind of separate out some of the noise that comes from this process. There's a lot of the variants that, you know, are typically due to timing. Even though we do some accruals, we don't do them for every line item. And you know, so there could be, you know, 2 months worth of expense that shows up when obviously only 1 month is budgeted. And then there's also a lot of what I'll call non-controllable expenses, you know, real estate taxes, which the people at the site level have no influence over, insurance and so forth. So it's important, I think, to separate out the controllable expenses, the ones that are variable expenses that the people in the field can influence, and that there's information that might be helpful that could create a better outcome. You know, for example, you know, if a property is incurring a lot of security expense, maybe there's been break-ins to cars or homeless people, what have you. That's something that you want to understand. You want to understand, you know, what's driving that expense. Is there any ways to reduce that expense? Is there a better approach? Is there a better vendor? All that information is more actionable than just a list of who was paid, which typically is like what I see in these variance reports. Usually the variance reports is just a list of who was paid without the opportunity to really understand what it is and how to control it better.
Yeah, we've got about 2 minutes left before I want to transition to something else. But I wanted to ask, Mo, what's the best way to mitigate these requests, once you've variances, once you've identified them?
Yeah, Brian's note or comment on like understanding the root cause. Well, firstly, separating out what can be controlled versus what can't be controlled. There's no point in spending time or resources or company time on, you know, addressing, you know, fluctuations that you may see in real estate taxes or insurance or something like that. Those are not expenses that can really be controlled. But I love the example that Brian had brought up about hey, you know, we've had more break-ins, or if the security expense on a particular property has increased, and how do we address and figure out that root cause? We had a great example of a client that was dealing with a larger REIT that was having a similar issue with one of their properties in Oakland. And after I had visited their property, a few things that I had noticed was, one is that like the driveway area getting into the community, and also certain areas in the garage were not very well lit. And those happened to be areas where cars were getting broken into. And they also didn't have a camera, multiple cameras that were facing kind of outward of the community at the gate. And so although this was an investment on part of the client, like more long-term, it decreased their expense exposure associated with security, not having to hire additional personnel. And it also gave more comfort to their tenants that their property is being looked after and is more secure. And so that's a great example of kind of a potential variance where kind of the root cause was addressed versus, you know, as Brian mentioned, a lot of times we see clients and just put kind of the vendor that was paid against that line item, which is not actionable information. I think what's very key is whenever a variance is recognized, that is a controllable expense, that the root cause is addressed and figured out before kind of an execution plan is put together.
Yeah, that is great. That is great advice. I want to transition this now because we've got about 4 minutes left in the segment. And give our listeners an idea. Brian, first of all, I'll start with you. How did you get started in the industry? Tell us a little bit about your company, what you're working on now, and if someone wants to reach you, how can they do that?
Sure. Yeah, I got started. I was an accounting major from Drexel. I'm a CPA. And I spent the first 15 years of my career as a CFO of various real estate companies, including some public ones. And then from there, I kind of got bored with the numbers, and I shifted into operations and became a chief operating officer of a number of companies. So the last 28 years, that's what I've done. I've been in the industry 43 years.
Wow.
I really enjoy running the business, and I enjoy most of all really influencing the people and really positive outcomes and development of their careers.
That's great. And tell us a little bit about Lindy and what you're working on now, and how can someone reach you if they wanted to?
Sure. Yeah, Lindy Communities, we're celebrating our 85th anniversary this year. It's a family-run business. We have 7,500 units, 35 properties. We're in Pennsylvania, and the bulk of our properties in Philadelphia. And we're also in Florida and Sarasota and Tampa and Ohio. We were always looking for good people. If anyone's interested in a position in those areas, my email is bkroker@comehometolindy.com. And that's comehometolindy.com. We don't do third-party management or anything like that. We only manage what we own.
Fantastic. All right. Mo, how about you?
Yeah, great. Brian, I always love interacting with individuals that came from a deep financial background with the operations side. It's very interesting how, you know, those type of folks kind of approach problems in a kind of a very data-centric type of manner versus just being kind of coming from the operations side where maybe there's not as much importance or significance on kind of the numbers. So kudos to you on that. So I'm Mohammed Mo Hussein. I lead a group of consultants and CPAs. We work with property asset and fund managers and kind of maximizing the net operating income associated with their properties, leveraging technology, automating processes, and ultimately being able to work with their clients, their tenants, and their owners, and focus on that while our team is able to take a lot of the burden associated with financial management, accounting, and then also just helping bring the organization to a level where they're able to automate and leverage all the great technology that's out there. Being a previous Yardi and Appfolio employee myself, we have a very deep expertise in operations and the different pieces of software that are out in the market. We operate in 35 different states. Five different countries, and if you'd like to reach out to us and love to learn more, our website is www.balancedassetsolutions.com.
Fantastic. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for being on the show. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.